As horrific as our recent wildfires were, they could have actually been worse. During those firestorms, community resources became a lifeline for many people in the affected areas. Local citizens stepped up with their own solutions, their own unique ways of helping out in an emergency, and those resources may have saved many lives. As fires and floods and mudslides are an ongoing threat, it's hard to underestimate the value of local meteorologist Edgar McGregor's weather forecast that helped Altadena residents know when to evacuate their homes. The Watch Duty app also became a lifeline for people in the fire areas, giving moment-by-moment updates on the evacuations and the progression of the fires. And in Malibu, you can find LA's smallest radio station, but what KPUU lacks in size, it makes up in community impact. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hal Eisner, welcome to Fox 11 News In Depth. Community members bonding together, helping out each other in a crisis, sharing comfort and resources. This is the hidden silver lining of every disaster. And it's no different with our latest crisis. The wildfires of January, coupled with the rainstorms of February, have brought out the worst of nature, coupled with the best of human nature. Let's bring in Edgar McGregor. He's a meteorologist and climate activist. And Edgar, you were honored recently, and you were honored because of something you did in the fires.
Correct. Helping to warn people of the conditions that were approaching that were conducive for explosive wildfire growth.
And among others, Judy Chu, the representative, when you hear her say that you had this quiet but dogged heroism.
Correct.
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel accomplished. This is definitely a very traumatic situation for thousands of my community members. And I feel as though I hope other meteorologists learn from this. How to best communicate disaster information.
I want you to walk us through that a little bit and tell us exactly what you did.
Well, I had been forecasting this windstorm for about 7 days prior to its actual occurrence. And I warned people that this event, because we had not seen rainfall earlier in the winter, was going to have extraordinarily high fire danger. And in fact, I told people the situation that burned down Lahaina, Hawaii, could happen again somewhere in Southern California if a fire were to break out. People heeded my call, and they got out of town, in some cases before the fire even started.
What was it about the conditions?
Well, we had no rainfall for the past 9 months, so all the fuel that had grown up in our mountains was very dry. We had very powerful winds gusting to 70 miles an hour inside the city and up to 100 miles an hour in the mountain slopes above Altadena, and the humidity levels were low. Those are the perfect ingredients for a major fire.
I've said this before, but I've covered many fires. I've never seen anything like that.
Oh, absolutely not. This is something that we are expecting in the new world of climate change. This now happened to Paradise, Lahaina, Palisades, and Altadena. This is honestly one of the most horrific natural disasters in U.S. history.
How long have you been doing this local forecasting?
I've been doing it for about 3 years. As my mother said, I was in the right place at the right time on this one. But as it turns out, you know, there's so many microclimates all throughout Southern California. Those weather apps on people's phones just aren't enough to inform them on the conditions they need to know to keep themselves and their property safe.
Now, do you live in the Altadena area?
Yes, I live just a couple blocks away from where the fire actually started. It was raining ash on my house before I even knew there was a fire.
Did your house survive?
Yeah, we did survive, but we did have homes about a block and a half away lost.
And what about your family?
We're okay. My job site was lost, so that's 2.5 years of heart and soul lost, but we will recover, and I'm still employed.
How's your mom?
She's okay. My mom's a tough woman. She, kind of brushed it off, said, the fire's not going to reach us, and it didn't. But we'll be okay.
Tough mom.
Yes.
Tough mom. Tell us about your Facebook page.
So I started the Facebook page after a major Santa Ana windstorm caught the Altadena area off guard back in January 2022. Sent trees through people's living rooms, smashed their project cars, came out of nowhere for a lot of folks. I saw it coming, but I didn't have the means to communicate that to people. And so I started this Altadena Weather and Climate page to help bring local community members together, talk about the weather, and inform them on what best to do to keep themselves safe.
And now you have a way to change how windstorms are designated?
Yes, we have no way to keep records of how Santa Ana windstorms strengthen. So there is no record book That means there's no seasonal analysis. There's no seasonal forecast. You can't go back and look at the 2018 Santa Ana windstorm season and see which dates saw high winds. You can do that for hurricanes. You can do that for the Dodgers. You can do that for earthquakes. But you can't do it for Santa Ana windstorms. Had our officials known that this particular wind event was the strongest in 13 years and not just any old run-of-the-mill wind event, maybe they would have been more prepared for the firestorms that eventually ensued.
You're also a climate activist.
Yes, this has now hit home in the biggest way possible. Climate change, among many other reasons, helped this fire grow much more explosively. Over the past 2 years, we've seen an enormous amount of precipitation in our local mountains that grows up all the fuels, the grasses, the trees, the bushes. And then we saw our driest 9-month period on record in the Pasadena area. Records go back 120 years. So a lot of fuel that's now dried out. That's the perfect ingredient for a major fire.
How does it feel to see the consequence of climate change so graphically?
Well, I feel like it can be a lesson that other communities around the nation can learn from. This will not be the last two towns to burn down in a major urban wildfire like this. There will be other areas, maybe not in California, but it will happen again. And I want people all across the country to be cognizant of that, cognizant of their threat, and make preparations now so that down the line when a fire breaks out, they know what to do.
Is your message well received?
Yes, I hope so, at least. I would like a national windstorm scale to be enacted. It's a very low-hanging fruit for our local officials, so that's something to put on their resume pretty quickly.
But there's no resistance.
No resistance for it. I mean, it already exists. We have them in all different kinds of other weather events, hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, so this is just adding a new one, but for non-thunderstorm-related windstorms.
And we have just a few seconds left. How can we improve the messaging around climate change?
The best thing we can do is build our cities to be climate resilient, the new cities especially, not building brand new neighborhoods in Phoenix right below washes and canyons that flood every monsoon season. It's very difficult to rebuild Palisades and rebuild Altadena in a way that can protect themselves, but those brand new neighborhoods, we have to be doing better.
All right, Edgar McGregor, thanks for joining us. Congratulations on helping so many people in a very dire situation. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, we tune in to a hyper-local radio station which is serving as a lifeline for residents in the Malibu area. KBUU's radio founder is also its main newscaster. He joins us next. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner, and so much of our disaster preparation involves communication. And while we sometimes feel like we're connected 24/7, in truth, it can sometimes be hard to get the local information that we need. Solving that problem in the Malibu area is a tiny radio station. In fact, it's the smallest radio station in Los Angeles, but its impact is mighty. Hans Letz, I've known you for a long time. Can I get a pass on that?
30 years, yeah.
Yeah, 30 years? Yeah, Hans Letz is a general manager of the news department for KBUU. Hans, good to see you. And if I slip on your first name, we always called him Hansi.
That's right.
What was this like for you?
Well, it wasn't as bad as the Woolsey fire when we took fire damage to the house and when the transmitter burned down. But this one, we've had practice, and we knew it was coming, and we stayed up day and night and told people what was happening and where it was happening.
It's been almost exactly 10 years since your radio station went on the air. You guys have been through some struggles over those years keeping it going, right?
Yeah, it's been a lot of work.
And you needed a lot of help.
Yeah, we've got community volunteers. People in the community donate money. All of a sudden, in the middle of the night, someone sends us $10.
Really? And
yeah, it's really gratifying, that type of support.
Malibu's seen its share of disasters. You've been there many of those times.
Well, I've lived there for 25 years and was working in the TV news industry for 35 years before that. So yeah, we've seen it all.
And that's where we got to know each other. And I want you to tell me a little bit about what this fire was like for you.
Well, this fire, like Woolsey, was just a nightmare, where we see it coming, we know it's coming. I call the LA TV news directors for permission to put their audio on the air if we need to, and We've had excellent cooperation from Fox, and so we're ready. And the fire comes, and we're putting information out continuously, looking at your helicopter, seeing where the fire is, looking where your live trucks are, and then we can use that information to tell people in Malibu where exactly what block on Pacific Coast Highway is on fire.
And everybody in Malibu knows every block.
Well, we use fast food restaurants as references. We tell
is
them,
that what you're doing?
Yeah, we tell them it's a quarter mile away from McDonald's.
Oh, that's a landmark.
Yeah.
And what do you see as the role of radio stations?
Well, it's diminishing. Radio stations used to be the primary source of information, and then television, of course, became the big megilla. Now, the internet, Watch Duty, your next guest, that is huge. Huge resource for us, huge resource for everyone. Mm-hmm. But in hyper-local areas where, you know, in Los Angeles, it's too big to get neighborhood-by-neighborhood information from the big mass media. Nobody can do that. We're really small, and we have a very narrow focus, so we can do that.
How did you start this, the radio station?
Oh, well, the city asked me to put it together. 25 years ago, we had a fire in 1993, I guess. That's 25 years ago, 22 years ago. And everybody in Malibu was told to tune to a particular radio station to listen for evacuation orders. And the radio station was in a ball game and wouldn't interrupt. So they wanted us to put a radio station on the air. And the FCC opened a window for neighborhood radio, and we applied for a license.
You and your wife do the heavy lifting here.
We pretty much do it all.
This is quite the cooperative effort, you and Diane. And how does that work?
Well, that's Diane on TV right there. That's her unloading that's at the transmitter as the fire approached in December. That was the Franklin fire. That's our transmitter on the hill. Diane can take that apart and put it back together closer than I can. That's our booster in our backyard. There's Diane. That's her doing some wiring on the transmitter. We've figured it out. I mean, Diane's a retired school teacher, and I'm an assignment editor. I don't know electronics at all.
Well, that's how we first got to know each other. But you put this together in a bedroom?
Yeah, my kids moved out. And when we won the license, it was a decision. Do we try to put this on at City Hall or in a shopping center, or do we just do it and get it on the air?
That's extraordinary. And so you put this together in a bedroom, and have there been other significant needs from your radio station besides the fires?
Oh, every morning. Every morning we're on the air with what traffic disaster is happening, and are the school buses getting through, and what happened last night at the city council meeting, which right now is of huge importance as the rebuilding process begins.
Do you think your neighbors appreciate this?
People are really happy. They recognize my voice at the supermarket. I mentioned on the air during the Franklin fire that we were running low on propane, and a movie star calls me and said, "We'll be there in a half hour with 8 tanks. Where are you?"
Right. How can people outside of Malibu hear your station?
Well, we stream at radiomalibu.net, and we post our newscasts there every day. We're all news every morning, which is a very difficult thing to produce, but we do it from 7 to 9:30, and we're on the radio at 99.1.
You know, I certainly recognize your voice. What's your hope for the future?
Well, my hope for Malibu is that we find a way to rebuild the community, given the enormous legal obstacles that are coming. Mm. A lot of those houses were on the ocean. I don't know if the state is gonna let people build houses back on the ocean. I don't know if the school district is gonna have enough kids, because as we rebuild, Malibu is becoming a different community, and a lot of longstanding families are leaving.
Hans Less, what a thing you and your wife and others in Malibu have been through, and you were there to tell people what they needed to know. Good job.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for being with us. Coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, an app that many people had never heard of a few months ago has now become nearly indispensable. It's called Watch Duty, and it's playing a big part in keeping people safe from disasters. We'll take a look at that right after this. Don't go away. During our recent firestorms, people in the affected areas, along with anyone who knew them, they were utterly desperate for information about the fires. But with the situation changing by the second, even news reporters live on the scene struggled to keep up. And that's when many people discovered something called Watch Duty, a resource right on their smartphone. The Watch Duty app consolidates data from various sources such as CAL FIRE, local fire, and government agencies to have up to the date information on fire activity, evacuation orders, road closures, and emergency responses. Joining us now, Nick Russell. Nick Russell is the Vice President of Operations for Watch Duty. And Nick, nice to meet you. Thanks for being with us. And I got to tell you, before the fires, I didn't know what Watch Duty was. And then all of a sudden, I kept hearing these two words, Watch Duty, Watch Duty. Tell us about this.
Yeah, no, first of all, nice to meet you as well. And thanks for having me. So Watch Duty was really a purpose-built platform. For many years here in my area, we've dealt with wildfires, and it's difficult to find information. It's in many places. It's difficult to consume or understand some of the messaging. And I'm having to go to X to find out this information from the fire department, then go to a Facebook page to find out about evacuations. And then I'm getting alerts and I don't quite understand what's happening. And so Watch Duty was built to aggregate all that information into one place and then deliver those alerts to people through this purpose-built platform. We started in August of 21 with just three counties here in California, quickly expanded to cover the entire state the next year, and now we're in 22 states throughout the U.S. here in 1,476 counties.
And it was created simply because of a void of information?
Yeah, it's just the difficulty in having to go to those different places and then, you know, put the pieces together to create the story and take action on your emergency. Like we've all dealt with evacuations and evacuation warning orders, advisory, whatever they might be. But knowing how to act on that and having the story makes people leave, right? One of the challenges that I've seen in my community for years is you have a law enforcement officer, you're sending a wireless emergency alert to phones and telling people you need to leave now, you're in immediate danger, but they don't understand why, what has happened, right? And so Watch Duty tells a storyline of reports from the start of ignition until the threat passes or the last engine leaves. And we do it much like sports reporting. So we're telling you the fire's 5 acres at a moderate rate of spread, structures are threatened on X Street or Y Street. And so those street names become trigger words for folks. And then they get the contextual story and they say, okay, I need extra time. So I'm going to start packing now, well before any evacuation warning or order has come out. And that's what we want to do. Folks who have livestock, folks who need that extra time, or have precautions they want to take. We want to give them that information to take those actions.
And were the January wildfires the biggest test of this system?
Yeah, it was certainly the biggest capacity test. You know, unfortunately, the devastation of wildfires continues to increase, specifically in our coverage area. But we served the most users at any single time, even with combined events during the height of wildfire season in the summer. We served the peak of those users in a single moment. There was an emergency alert that was sent throughout the county of LA, and shortly thereafter, we were serving 3 million users a minute who were coming to us to get that information. So
there must be a lot of people involved in this operation.
You know, there's a lot of volunteers, but the support staff, the engineers, you know, we're a rather small team. There's 15 paid staff, and we have about 215 volunteers. So it's a mighty effort, and there's a lot of different pieces being put together behind the scenes to ensure continuity of service and that everyone gets the information they need in a timely manner, official information.
A mighty effort by a very few people. And how does this information get collected and disseminated?
Yeah, so the way that we operate in the back end is with an internal messaging tool called Slack that's built by Salesforce. And so we've divided that up into regional incident channels throughout each state that we operate in. And within those channels, we're getting signals to validate. So, you know, it could be a CAD entry. It could be one of the various authoritative sources that we monitor saying, hey, there's a potential new wildfire here. And then through partnerships with places like Alert West, Alert California, we use the camera networks that are placed strategically throughout mountaintops to say, yes, there is a fire here. And then we tune into that local radio traffic from the fire ground. That's where the real-time information's at, what the fire is doing and where the immediate threats are. And then we communicate that stuff through our reports.
Is there like a big control room somewhere?
You know, there's a bunch of little control rooms. So everybody's remote, which allows us to be very agile. You know, specifically in Southern California, we had a chunk of our team that was affected by this, was being evacuated. It was helping loved ones. But then we have the other side of our team in Washington where it's raining or snowing, and then they can virtually come in and help in these situations. So being 100% virtual and not having a control room, but building tools that these folks can use to host their own control room allows us to operate with continuity.
And it's not just fires, right? I mean, we saw food distribution centers, road closure notifications, all kinds of things.
Yep, it's everything that affects you in that emergency. So if we can provide you resources like the items you mentioned, shelters, food resources, that's what we want to do. And things that affect, you know, egress, leaving, road closures, certainly very important. But, you know, you mentioned it's not just fires. And I think it's important to talk about the bigger topic of that. We didn't put fire in the name for a reason. We called it watch duty because there's many other disasters and events that occur that could use additional contextual information like watch duty is providing for wildfires. So you'll see us start to cover more information on floods in the future and other weather events that occur year round and by way of temperature, wind, air quality issues. We want to serve all members of the community in an equal capacity and make sure that nobody is underserved through the work that we're doing.
Just tell us if there's a website where people can donate. We have to wrap this up.
Yeah, absolutely. Watchduty.org. You can find more information and make donations there as well. And it's available to use on a computer or on your mobile phone.
Nick Russell, thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back with more Fox 11 News right after this break. Don't go away. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, just check out my podcast. It's called What the How? And it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts or just go to whatthehowpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.